21, I want to share just a word that the Lord's laid on my heart, and we'll do whatever He says to do, and we'll go to the house. Amen? That's just about what we'll do tonight. Boy, He's been good to us. He's been very good to us tonight, and I thank Him for that. Psalm 91 tonight, and I'm going to read one verse, and then we'll expound on that and see what He'd have us to do from there. But, man, my heart just, glad to be back up here again. Just glad to be up here again. What thing? That ticker's a ticking right now, boy. Palms are sweaty. Yeah. You know, you get to where you just preach. And then you get to where you preach under the anointing and you know God sent you that message. When you preach three messages a week, not all of them's anointed. You just fill in a slot. You're on the payroll. You've been called to do. You just preach. They ain't all anointed. Brother Jake, you know that. They ain't all anointed. They don't know it, but you know it, and I know it. Brother Riley, you know it, and I know they're not all anointed because you're just preaching. But when you've been set for a while, and you've been set, it's just something different, that anointing, that fresh anointing. And I thank God for that tonight. You got it. Brother Michael Easter, you know what I'm talking about, amen? That afresh. If you found your place, say amen. Now listen, anything I say tonight that would offend you, take it up with God. Don't come to me with it. You take it up with God. This come from Him. And anything that you wouldn't like, you take it up with Him. Found your place, I ask you to stand. I told Brandy, Wednesday night I preached, I just got me a good case of I don't give a rip. Brother Harold, you remember that? Well, I was in rehab Thursday morning. And boy, I was just getting at it, and I got out in the car, and Kaylee had texted me. And she said, Daddy, I'm going to take one of them tests today. She said, I've got me a good case of I don't give a rip, and I gave it to God. And she wrote, preach on, preacher. She said, I listened to it again. I sat in the parking lot and listened to it again before I went in. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You need to find your secret place. I don't know where it is. And once you get there, let nobody interrupt you while you're there. Lay your phone down. I know it'll scare you to death, but get away from it for a little bit. You don't need it 24/7. You don't need it 24/7. If you got that phone in your hand 24/7, you ain't hearing from God. You ain't got time to hear from God. You hearing from your problems, your pain, people that just want to bother you to death. Lay that thing down. Get alone where you can talk to God and God can talk to you. Find you a secret place. Psalm 91, verse number 1, the Bible says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Father, I love You, I praise You, I glorify You tonight. I thank You that there is a place that we can get to tonight. There is a place, it's a secret place that we can go to tonight. Father God, it's a place that everybody that I'm talking to tonight, they know what I'm talking about tonight. It's a place that they get along with You and nobody can bother them there. Nobody can find them there. Father, they just get along with You. Their mind gets clear, their heart gets clear, their spirit gets in unity with You. Father, I pray tonight for that one tonight that does not have a secret place. I pray when they leave this place tonight that they find them one. They remember that place. They get back to that place. They get back to Bethel, that place of worship where it's just between You and them, Father. And Lord, they get there on their knees before You. And they get there in a place, Father, where You can speak to them. Father, I pray tonight that You guard my throat, guard my thoughts, guard my speech. Let me not preach in anger. Let me not preach in hatred. Let me not preach in nothing but the love of Jesus Christ tonight, Father. Lord, I pray tonight, but what I'm preaching about, Lord God, every time I stand behind this sacred desk, I want me to know, Father, in my spirit, in my soul, in my mind tonight, Father, this could be the last time that I ever stand behind this desk, and I want to take it serious tonight, and I want to preach Your word. Father, I've come in to do one thing, and that's to preach You. Father, I love You, I praise You, I glorify You. Bless Your people tonight, anoint them tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask and I pray, and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Psalm 91 and verse number 1, the secret place of the Most High God. I'm talking about the secret place of the Most High God. I'm talking about a place that you can get to tonight. And listen to me tonight on this. I'm so thankful that there is a secret place that a person can dwell that the enemy's attack is unavailable. I'm thankful tonight that there is a place that you can go to, and there's a place that you can reside that the attack of the enemy is unavailable to get you there. The enemy cannot shoot you there, Brother Garrett. The enemy does not have darts that can reach there. He cannot attack you there. He can't come against you there. There is no way he can get there because it's a secret place and the enemy does not know where that secret place is. That place is between you and God tonight. But I want to say this tonight. Very few folks know about this secret place. They read about it. They sing about it. They dream about it, but they never are able to arrive because, number one, they're not willing to dwell there long enough for God to talk to them. They're not willing to stay there long enough for God to talk to them. We are a busy generation that don't have time for God to speak to us and talk to us and tell us what He wants us to know. We got this going on and that going on, and we don't listen to God. Look in verse number 1. It says, He that dwelleth, to dwell is this. You must dwell in that secret place. You say, preacher, what is that dwelling in the secret place? You must be willing to abide there or live there. You must be willing to get there in your life and abide in that secret place of the Most High God. To get in that secret place and be willing to abide or live there, or willing to stay and not run in and out. Not run in and out. Not go in and out. But you stay at that secret place. The Bible says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You're willing to abide in that place. You're willing to stay in that place. Or you're willing to sit there tight and wait on God. I want to ask you tonight, is there a place in your life that when you need God to speak to you that you go to? You go to that place, and no matter how long it takes Him, you stay there until God answers. I'm talking about you get to that place, you get there in your life, and you don't run in, you don't run out, you don't lose train of thought, but you go and you sit there, and you sit there, and you sit there. And if it takes God 3 hours to speak to you, you sit there. Do you get your answer? Do you have one of them places? Do you have that place that nobody's able to get there? Nobody knows where you're at. When you lay yourself down at that place and you get to that Bethel and you get to that place and you lay before Almighty God and you lay your petition out before Him and you say, God, I'm going to dwell here. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to pitch my tent here and I'm going to stay here until You answer me. Do you have a place like that is what I'm talking about tonight. I'm not talking about a little prayer spot. I'm talking about a place that you cleaned the spot off and you've got down on your knees and you beg God to meet you there, and you know if you can get there, God's going to meet you there. Do you have a place like that? I'm asking you tonight, are you willing to dwell at that place? Are you willing to get there to that secret place that God will answer you there, that God will speak to you there? You say, preacher, do you have a place like that? I do have a place like that. I have a place like that in my life. But for so long, I had not returned to that place. I had not went back to that place. I would be in and out on God. I would be in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. But I had to go back to that place. I had to go back to my Bethel. I had to go back to my secret place, Brother Garrett, where I knew God would meet me. Yes, He meets me every day, but there's sometimes I need something special in my life. I need God to touch. I need God to answer. And I went back to that place where I knew that God told me, I will meet you there. The Bible says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God. You say, preacher, what happens when you dwell in that secret place? You'll be different when you come out. When you dwell in that secret place of the Most High God, let me show you what you'll find there. Number one tonight, you'll find your defense is in that secret place. Woo, glory. Your defense is in that secret place. You say, preacher, how do I know that tonight? Look what He says with me, if you will, in verse number 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. When you're willing to dwell in that secret place, you will find your defense is in that secret place. You say, what will I find there? Number one, you'll find the refuge of our Lord is there. It's a place that you can hide out. It is a secret place. It is a private place that you go to and you get before God Almighty. You get all alone with God and you let Him speak to you in that secret place. But not only is it a refuge of our Lord, but it's a fortress is our Lord. When you get here and you understand that, you say, what is that fortress? It's a defense area. It's a place that the enemy can't attack you. It's a place that you get. It's a place that you get alone. And I know a while ago when I asked, are you willing to stay until the smoke clears? Are you willing to stay 3 hours? There's some of you automatically say, I don't have 3 hours. Can I say you don't have a choice? If you ever get to the place that you need God to show up, come on, who am I talking to tonight? That you need God to show up, you'll stay 3 hours. You'll stay 2 hours. There've been times I went in 30 minutes, he's gave me my answer, and I've come back out. But friends, there's been times to get to that secret place where God is, and all the distraction of this world is away from me, and it's just me and God there. I want to dwell in that place because my defense is there, and my refuge is there, and my fortress is there, and I must trust in God. Look what he says in verse number 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now I want to say this tonight. When you dwell there, you see your defense is there, but also your deliverance is in that secret place. If you feel like you're captive and you're caught up in a cage and you can't get out, listen to me tonight. There is a way out. Listen to me tonight. Don't you get all anxiety. Don't you get depressed and all worked out. There is a way out. You can find yourself to that secret place where God is and get along with him. You're not caged up. You're not in a place where you take a man and put him in a cage, you'll drive him crazy. Can I get an amen? You take a man and you can find him to a spot and you don't let him get out and you keep him in that spot, it won't be long, he'll go crazy. You know what a man must do? He must get right where God is. I'll never forget one time, me and my sister Chasta back there, my daddy was a big coon hunter and he loved to coon hunt. This just come to my mind. And one day he caught a coon and he had a coon cage. I mean a big one. I'm talking about it was this big and stood tall, and that coon was in that cage. We'd feed it and we'd water it. And I told my sister, I saw my dad do it all the time. He'd take that coon dog out. He'd let him sniff around that cage on the leash. He'd sniff around that cage, Brother Jake. He'd sniff around that cage. He'd let him bark a few times. He'd take that dog, put it back up. He'd put him right back where he wanted to be. He never let that dog dwell there very long. I didn't know the reason why. I didn't know why that was. I didn't know what was going on. Well, one day I told Chasta, I said, we're going to do what Daddy did, but we're going to take him off the leash. We took that coon dog off that leash, and son, he got to barking, he got to howling, he jumped up on that cage, and we thought it was the funniest thing in the world. For about 20 minutes, that dog had slobber coming out, Brother Eric, and he was treeing that coon like you ain't never seen. And that coon did not know that that dog could not get to him. All he knew was that dog wanted him, and he was howling at him, and he was barking at him, and that coon thought he was going to get him. And you know what that coon did? He got back up in the corner and got up on his back feet and got just to doing all kind of crazy things. And next thing we knew, he fell over dead. And I told Chastity, I said, I think we've killed his coon. I think he's dead. She said, no, he ain't dead. I said, I think he's dead. We put the dog back up. And you know what? That coon was deader than a doornail. You know why? Because he thought the enemy had him. Even though he did not know that he had a cage around him, even though he did not know that he had a hedge around him, he had protection around him, that he was dwelling in a safe place. I'm talking to somebody tonight. That old Satan, he's barking at you. He's howling at you. He's up on your cage. And you think tonight, I might as well die. It ain't going to do me no good. You listen to me tonight. It doesn't matter how close Satan gets. He can't get you because the bloodline. Just as that coon dog did. But that coon did not know that his enemy could not get him. Talking to somebody tonight, that the old devil, he's been treeing on you. He's been treeing up your tree. And what you got to understand is tonight, he can't get you. He can tree all he wants to tree. He can bark all he wants to bark. But he can't get a child of God. Listen to me tonight. I see that defense is there. I see the deliverance is there. Look with this, if you will, with me in the text. That deliverance is there. I see we dwell in the secret place. There's a defense, and also there's deliverance in the secret place. Look in verse number 3. He says, surely he shall what? He shall deliver me. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Deliverance is in that secret place. I wrote this down, and I want you to get this tonight. Most saved folks never, ever walk in true deliverance. Most saved folks never walk in true deliverance, even though they're truly delivered. Most people get saved, they're a drug addict, they don't realize that they're truly delivered. And they never walk in true deliverance. They don't realize the power of Jesus Christ. They don't realize the power when you got saved at that moment, you was in that secret place. And you can return there at any time. You're in that secret place. You have been delivered. There's deliverance there. Your defense is there. If you'll just dwell there, stay there where God would have you to be. Let me give you this tonight. Most saved folks never walk in true deliverance. They got something in their life that hiccups them up all the time. They never get truly delivered because they will not dwell in the secret place of the Most High. They will not dwell there. Let me give you this also. Not only that secret place is a dwelling and it's a defense and a deliverance, but you got to make a decision if you're going to dwell there or not. It's up to you if you're going to dwell there. He won't make you dwell there. He won't make you come there. He won't make you stay there. It's up to you, and you have a decision to make. Tonight, I want to say you have a decision tonight. You already know if you're dwelling there tonight or not. I want to say this tonight. If you're saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you ought to be on high alert tonight. You ought to be, and if you're a preacher, you better get on high alert. Because he's on your cage. If you're up here in this worship team, you better be on high alert. If you're a deacon, you better get on high alert. If you're a pew sitter, you better get on high alert. Because old devil, he ain't playing fair. He don't play fair. He don't have to play fair. That's why he's the devil. That's why he's sneaky. He don't play fair. So tonight, I want to say you have a decision. You're fixing to walk back out the door. And by the way, it's going to be hot this week, Chuck. Tempers are going to flare. Attitudes are going to rise. People are going to have decisions. They want to do this. They want to do that. You better make a decision tonight. I'm going to follow Jesus. Or the integrity will go out the door about Tuesday this week. I'm asking you tonight. Do you know about this place of the Most High God? You got to have a decision. Look in verse number 14. Here's what he said. The psalmist said everything that the Lord was to him. That I can dwell there. He told you everything he was if you keep reading that all the way to verse 14. But then he says, because, the Lord says, because he has set his love upon me, he made the decision. He made the decision to dwell in that secret place. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. You must make a decision to dwell there. When you dwell there, when you call on God, he will answer you. Sad thing is, we got to go through trials and tribulations to ever get to that secret place. And then we call on him. If you're already in that place, you call on him, he's going to answer you there. When you call, he will answer. When you're in trouble, look what he says, when you're in trouble, he will deliver. He will satisfy and show you true salvation. True salvation. Tonight, I want to leave you with this. The secret place of the Most High God. When you make a decision to dwell there, you will be different once dwelling at the secret place of the Most High God. I've never seen anybody dwell in the secret place of the Most High God that's not different when they come out. I've never seen anybody that wasn't different when they come out of that place. And I'm not talking about going out of this church. This ain't a secret. This is a sacred place. That's a Bible word, by the way. This is a sacred place. We reverence this place, but this ain't my secret place. Guess what? Troubles can find me here. People can find me here. Problems can find me here. Pain can find me here. Persecution can find me here. But I'm talking about a secret place. If this is the only secret place that you feel God, you're in trouble. Huh? You in deep trouble. I'm talking about a place that you just get to and it's just you and him. I've never seen anybody get to that place that wasn't different when they come out. It'd do everybody in this place good to get there this week. Say it'd do everybody good to get there tonight when you get home. It does me good to get there when I get home. And I'm going to say this tonight. I've never seen anybody that's been to that place that wasn't different. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter number 1, verse number 21. Different when you've been to that place. Different when you've been to that place. You just ain't the same. You ever heard somebody say that? He just ain't the same. Something different about him. Something different. Brother Jerry Gabby, when I got saved, you know what the Lord said at work? He said, you different. What's wrong with you? So I've been saved. You different. Brother Tony Woodham's a good guy, but he's different. I've heard that many a times. He's a good guy, but he's a little different. Now, if you've never, nobody's ever said you're different, maybe because you ain't never been in a secret place with God, that he can make you different. Y'all don't want preaching tonight. Y'all just sitting there. But Mason, there's a difference. It's different when you're in that place. You remember Zacharias, John the Baptist's daddy? He went into the temple to burn incense. And he went into the secret place. He went to where he was supposed to be. He went where he was supposed to be and do what he was supposed to do. And he went into the secret place of the Most High God. And he done what God had told him to do. And let me show you this in the book, if you will. Luke, I think I'm Luke 1:21. I ain't for sure. Yeah, Luke 1:21. And look what the Bible says here. Luke 1, verse 21. Look what the Bible says. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. They couldn't believe he stayed at church. Couldn't believe he stayed that long with the Lord. Can I say to you, when you get to that secret place, you'll be different. Number one, because you'll stay and you won't hurry out. There's no clock in the secret place. There's no time in the secret place. It's just you and God. He said, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he had tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. Can I say, when you've been in a secret place, sometimes you come out and you're left speechless with what the Lord has told you. Speechless. Speechless. Have you ever went in and when you come out, you're going to tell somebody about it and you're like, you wouldn't understand. I can't even tell you what the Lord just told me. I can't even tell you what the Lord's just done in my life. I can't even tell you what's happening. You ever been there? You didn't hurry out. You went in and you talked to him. And when you come out, you were speechless for what he revealed to you. When I went through this surgery, it's unreal what the Lord has revealed to me. And the urgency to preach the gospel. And don't sugarcoat nothing. Don't just preach. Just tell it. Life is short. Life is short. Don't go through this life miserable. Don't go through this life bound up with things of this world on you. Child of God, you'll get there quicker than a lost man will. Bound up with the expectations of this world. Don't you get there. Listen to you, preacher. Don't you get there. Don't you get there. You stay free in Jesus. Who the Son sets free is. Man, I've said that 1,000 times in here and be bound down so tight. Preach it up one side and down the other and have on chains when I walk out of this place. Shackled in chains, shackled in burdens. Listen to me tonight. I'm talking to somebody. And all I had to do, I was like that old coon. Everything barking up my cage. And I just get in the corner. What do I do now? And all I had to do was get to my secret place. And instead of going to my secret place, I would delay it or stay away from it. Tonight, number one, he didn't hurry in and he didn't hurry out. Number two, when he come out, he was speechless. He didn't know what to say. He didn't have a clue. All he knew was, is the Lord spoke it and it was real. He spoke it and it was real. I want to ask you tonight, when's the last time the Lord spoke something into your spirit and you knew it was the Lord? You knew, let me show you this. You knew that it was the Lord. He stayed and didn't hurry out. The meeting was so powerful, he was left speechless. And I love this. He went in one way and he came out another. He went in, listen, he went in to do his duty, just burn incense. He went in just to do what he was called to do. But he came out another. When I got over there to Tupelo, I didn't know what all was going to take place. And I said, Lord, what are you going to do? You ain't got to close your children's eyes. It ain't that graphic. I said, Lord, what you going to do? Lord, what you going to do? Lord, I'm dwelling in this secret place. I've been there. And I want you to do a work in my life. Lord, I don't want to go back to what I was at one time. I want to be different. Lord, I don't want to be the same. I want to be different. The Lord got speaking to me and got talking to me. He said, I'm your deliverer, OJ. I'm your defense. I'm all you got. You got to trust in me. You got to get back to that secret place. You got to get back to doing what I need you to do. And man, and this ain't for y'all. It's for me. It gets it off me. What did he just put on me? And said, just tell the folks, whoever wants it, they'll get it. And he said, but you got a decision to make. And I've done a heart work on you, and you're going to be different. Some's going to like it and some ain't. But as I got over there and I got ready, he said, but I ain't done with you. I said, what? He said, I ain't done with you. I said, what do you mean? He said, you got one more round. He said, you got one more round left in you. He said, I ain't done with you. He said, I ain't done. See, I'm not going to show you my scar. This is what Satan put on me. That ain't what God put on me. What Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. What I didn't see then, I see now. And I see that I got one more round, David Barnes. I might be down, but I ain't done. Can I get an amen? I'm talking to somebody tonight. You need to get you a good case. I don't give a rip. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to love Him. I'm going to uplift His name. And them suckers that don't like it, they ain't hit the back door. That's where life is, and that's how short it is. And when you start caring what everybody thinks, you will be in Tupelo, Mississippi with your chest split wide open. You know what laid me over there? My calcium score was a 4. You know what that means? Nothing. That means you're good. It ain't calcium buildup. They said we can do everything that you can do in your life. We can give you medicine. Told me everything they can do. They said, but one thing landed you over here that we can't do nothing about is stress. One thing that we can't do nothing about that you've got to handle, and it's stress. I'm talking to daddies, mamas. I'm talking to people in here. Your number one thing in your life, you stress yourself to death. Did I make this unhappy? Is that unhappy? Does that love me? Does that like me? Does this and does that? And then you got them folks that I don't care, and they go home, and them people sleep with them. They drink coffee with them every morning, and it's in their head, and it's on their mind, and you don't know what you're going to do. Can I say what you do? You get to your secret place. You get to a place that you can dwell. You get to a place that you, if you wake up with them on your mind and you ain't praying for them, it ain't of God. If you wake up and all you can do is complain about them, be careful. I'm talking to somebody tonight that you think, man, I'm about done. Can I say to you tonight, you got one more round. Kyler bought me that shirt. I don't know, he may have got a thrift store. I don't know. But when he put it on, I got over there, and I felt like I could face the world with that shirt on. I love Rocky Balboa. I love watching Rocky movies. I just love it. If you was born back in the 80s, son, Rocky was the man. You know what I'm saying? I think he ain't but about 4'8", 4'9". I don't know. He may be taller. But he'd whoop anybody. So he'd whoop anybody. Remind me of David and Goliath. He'd whoop anybody. And I'll never forget one scene in a movie. I'll never forget it. Brother Eric, I've preached this to death. I never forget one scene in a movie. He done raised up Tommy Gunn. And Tommy Gunn was, he was the young, new thing, clean cut, buffed up. And he told Tommy, he said, man, I won't fool you. And he went into the pool hall and they shooting pool, doing some things. He just in there minding his own business. And old Tommy Gunn out there in the parking lot hollering, Rocky! Rocky! He said, they're calling for you. He said, leave him alone, he's fine. Went long, he come into where he was at. See, the enemy won't stop just because you say, leave him alone. And he come into where he was at. And when he come into where he was at, he started jawing. Ain't that what the enemy will do? All they want to do is run their mouth. They just want to run their mouth. They won't do nothing, but they'll run their mouth. Come on, somebody, talk to me tonight. You got people like that. in your life. They'll run their mouth, but they won't put their hand to the plow. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Good. Amen, sister. I know you're waving at that baby, but you're waving at heaven. They'll run their mouth, but they won't do nothing. So he got to run his mouth. And he told him, he said, I ain't going to worry about it. And his little old guy, what was his name, David? Apollos? Apolly? Polly. He told him, he said, man, go on, you're a bum. And he punched him right in the face. And old Rocky got upset. And he said, you knock him down, now knock me down. And they went out in the parking lot. Go watch the movie. It may have bad language in it. I ain't watched it in forever, so just, hey. But they got out in the parking lot. And he, man, I'm telling you what, he put it on Rocky there for a minute. And finally he knocked him down, and old Rocky fell down. And just like any old critic would do, I watch my mouth. Come on, y'all Christian folks. I've seen your Facebook post. Come on now. And he's laying there, and he gets up, and old Tommy's walking back. And old Rocky hollers, hey, Tommy, I ain't heard no bell. One more round. You know what he did in that last round? He wore him out. I don't know how many rounds I got left, Hank Butler, but I'm going to wear Satan out in the name of Jesus. I'm going to wear him out in the name of Jesus. I'm going to preach it from the mountaintops, rooftops, housetop, whatever top I can get on. I'm going to tell everybody that Jesus Christ will change your life. If you'll just dwell in that secret place, there is your defense. There is your deliverance. But you got to make a decision. He won't make you come there. You have to get there. And when you get there, you'll be different when you walk out. Because you realize you don't know how much you got left, but what you got left is going to be straight for him. I want to ask you tonight, where are you at tonight with the Lord? And I'm not talking about a person that's lost. You know where you're at. You're hell bound. You never called on Jesus, never asked him to save you. You're headed to hell. You know you are. Lost person, you got to tell them where they at. They know where they at. The one that needs to be on high alert tonight is that one that's got away from that secret place of the Most High God. And you're letting everything wear your head out. They don't text back quick enough. You think they're mad at you. Or they don't text back in 3 years and you think. Come on. What are we doing? What are we running around here? It's a church. Not a babysitting club. It's a church. Well, I don't like the way things are done. Get over it. Jesus didn't either, but he's the head of this place. Man, I'm telling you tonight, my heart. You've got to get to the place where you say, I don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm going to do what God called me to do. And I'm going to get there, and I'm going to stay there, and I'm not going to get out of what he's called me to do. And old Satan will try to run you out of what God's called you to do. I'm talking to somebody tonight that I guarantee you tonight that you come in worried to death. I was laying in Tupelo, Mississippi, and they told me, they said, if you don't quit having visitors, your oxygen's going, you know what I'm saying? It get down to 60, 70s. Say, that's another day if you don't get it up to 99. Sister, they say, breathe. You ever try to breathe out your nose and your mouth and everything the way they want you to? I'm a country boy. I don't breathe out my mouth, I reckon. And here's what Brandy said. She told me, I'm going to have to text everybody and tell them to quit coming. She said, we got to get that out. I said, baby, you going to hurt somebody's face? She said, I could care less right now. She said, you're going to get that oxygen up and you're going to lay there and you're going to do what I said. Give me that phone. I said, wow. Now, I remembered that 25 years ago, but I don't remember that here lately. What's going on now? Amen. Even when you're laying there about to die, you still worry about what people think. When you have a heart for people, you don't want to hurt them. You have a heart for them. Tonight, I want you to know this. You got to get to the secret place. Don't try to take your spouse with you there. He said, he that dwelleth, not you and your spouse, not you and your children, you. You get to that place and you say, God, you promised me you'd meet me there. I'm talking to somebody tonight that you ain't been to your secret place in a long time. Long time. You get up running and you go to bed running. He ain't talking to you the way you need him to talk to you. You may just need to talk tonight. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something. For the next 7 days, I challenge you. For the next 7 days, give God 30 minutes. I'm not talking about 30 minutes reading your Bible. I'm not talking about 30 minutes at church. I'm talking about 30 minutes of you keeping your mouth shut and your ears open. And you sit there and you say, God, you tell me what you want. You speak to me. And I promise you in the name of Jesus Christ, if you'll give him a little, he'll give you a lot. You'll never give him what he's gave you. But it'll blow your mind when you get to that secret place. And you say, God, this right here, I have scratched it all for you. Nobody or nothing will interrupt it. It's between me and you. I wonder tonight who I'm talking to. I say, the cares of this world, Brother BJ, just about beat me down. There is a secret place. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That shadow is there so you don't get burnt. Cares of this world will burn you. And when you get out of his shadow, you fix to get burnt. As your musicians come tonight.